We will now hear a talk about the fusion of art and science. It's a field and a topic which is, a lot of people are unaware that it exists, but there's amazing projects happening with this nice combination. And today we have the possibility to have a sneak peek in one of those. It's from bioacoustics to music. It's the art and science of whale song. So I know mainly about from Dory and Finding Nemo about whalish. But I think today this will be a much more scientific approach, but also a performance. So we will have some lecture parts, but we also will listen to great sounds. And if you like what you hear, you not only can watch the video afterwards, but you can listen to this music of Inner Child today. It's 3 a.m. at Dub Station, so you have to stay awake for a little bit. But with this, I will stop talking and ask the wonderful Sarah Nixig, aka Inner Child, to stage. And please welcome her with a big round of applause.
Thank you. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Whale Song session. My name is Sarah. I'm also known by the artist's name Inner Child. As she mentioned, I will be playing later tonight, so you can also hear that. But now, I would like to tell you a story about my journey, which took me across the world's oceans to some remote places very few people have been to. From doing bioacoustic research, which means studying sounds of animals, I worked with some of the best universities in the world, to producing electronic music and performing on dance floors all over the world. And I got whales to thank for that. So, to understand my story, we need to go back in time when I was a child. I was lucky to grow up next to the sea. I learned to swim before I learned to walk. And I was always fascinated by the underwater world. I also grew up surrounded by music. I went to music school where I learned piano and music theory, which came in very handy later in my life. And another thing I loved doing as a kid was reading books. I read the entire children's library. That's what my parents told me. I especially loved stories about animals that talk and behave in peculiar ways. So I hope you all know this quote. You know where it comes from? It's one of my favorite books of all time. It's called Little Prince. And it says, "All grown-ups were once children, but only few of them remember it." Well, I'm one of these lucky few ones, and I bet there are more here. Because growing up, I continued following my passions I had as a child. So I kept exploring the ocean. I went to study marine biology. That's what I got my master's in. And that was back more than a decade ago. And since then, I worked on various projects all over the world, studying marine mammals, so whales and dolphins. So I worked on projects in Scotland, Australia, New Zealand, New Caledonia, California. Last year, I've been to Greenland, and this year, I've been to Antarctica. So I really covered all the oceans. Yes, and here, on this photo down here, you can see me holding a pole. On the bottom of that is a hydrophone, which is basically an underwater microphone, which we use to listen to sounds underwater and to record them. Another thing I've been doing is education. I also got a degree in education, and I really believe that besides research, education is actually also very, very important. And I've been doing this in various places, from schools to like music festivals, conferences, and everything in between. And finally, what I kept doing was music. So I learned how to produce electronic music. I mean, I'm still learning. You can learn that forever. And as I said, I've been performing all over the world with my Inner Child project. And I know all of these things might seem quite different, you know, all these different disciplines. I worked in academia, then I work as a musician and in education. And I for the longest time, I felt like I need to choose only one. You know, when you're a kid, they always ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they always expect one answer, right? I couldn't say, I want to study whales, I want to make music, I want to give talks, write stories. But I love all of these things, and this is why I wanted to combine all these different worlds of mine and all the knowledge and experience I had. So that's actually the reason why I started my Inner Child project. So, for this project, my sister made a portrait of me. Do you think it's a good one? Yeah. So, first, I thought I will give you a short overview because I can talk for days about my research, but I'll keep it short to introduce you to the world of whales. And then I will talk a bit about my music, or actually how my research translated into music. So these are some of the species I studied over the years. From the biggest animal that's ever lived on the planet, which is a blue whale, to the smallest dolphins in the world, which are Hector's dolphins. They only live in the waters around New Zealand. I also studied sperm whales in New Zealand, bottlenose dolphins in Australia. These guys figure out the way to use tools to catch fish, which is completely crazy. But my favorite ones, I don't know how well you can see, are these guys in the middle, which are humpback whales. So all of these species have various cool things they do. But each of them, so all the whales and dolphins, they have their own very advanced communication systems and also cultures. We often think that culture is something reserved only for us humans. But in fact, many animal species also have cultures. And humpback whales are one of the most advanced in the entire animal kingdom because of the songs they sing. So the first scientist that ever discovered these songs, his name was Roger Payne, and this is what he said about them. That's what whales do. They give the ocean its voice, and the voice they give, it is ethereal and unearthly. When he first heard these sounds, to him it sounded like something coming from outer space. And in fact, whale songs ended up in space. So when NASA launched Voyager spacecrafts back in 1977, they included this golden record on board. And on this golden record, they had greetings in various human languages, but they also included songs of humpback whales. So, if some advanced civilization actually discovered this golden record, maybe they can tell us what the whales are singing about, because we still don't know. Besides his research, Roger did another amazing thing. So, we're talking about 70s, and whales were heavily hunted then. Whaling was happening all over the world. And most species almost went extinct. So he decided to release this record called Songs of a Humpback Whale, basically with his recordings of whale songs. And this record went like multi-platinum. It's still the best-selling environmental album of all time. And actually, this really helped save the whales movement, which eventually led to the ban on commercial whaling. So we have Roger to thank for still having whales with us today. And actually, if you're interested to learn more, 5 years ago, BBC did a show for 50th anniversary of this record. So they interviewed Roger and also myself. So it was very cool to be on the same show. So just Google BBC Songs of the Humpback Whale. I think you should find it. So what did Roger find in his research? So he found out that humpback whales sing these long songs, which can last up to 20 minutes, even half an hour, with perfect structure within them. Like, imagine, could you memorize like half an hour of song? And they all do it. And the structure of this song is hierarchical. So it means it has several layers. The smallest element of a song is called a unit. Units are organized in a specific sequence, and that makes a phrase. Several phrases make up a theme, and several different themes make up a song. But the whales will not stop there. Often they will keep singing over and over the same song in song sessions, and these song sessions can last for hours, even days. So these guys really love to sing. But why do they sing? We still don't know. We have several theories. So whereas both males and females can produce a variety of different sounds, only male humpbacks arrange these sounds in songs. So because only male humpbacks sing, sexual selection is the leading hypothesis. But they are heard singing in various occasions. Sometimes they are heard singing when there are females around, so okay, maybe it is to attract the ladies. But also other times they are heard singing when there are other males around, so maybe it's their way of kind of establishing dominance, like fighting, and then the best singer gets the ladies. maybe attracting other males, you know, we don't know. But also sometimes they sing when they're on their own, so it is possible that these songs serve a multi-message signal. It can be directed to both sexes, but because they are so complex, I believe there are some more information encoded in them. We still don't know how exactly do they learn these complex songs, but we do know that it happens through a process called horizontal cultural transmission. So vertical would mean from parents to offspring, and horizontal just means from other whales in your surroundings. So they listen to each other and learn from each other. So now we get to some really interesting stuff. Each population of whales that lives in some part of the world has their own song. So for example, whales in Australia will have a completely different song from whales in America, let's say. And populations that live closer will have some similarities between their songs. So this was a theme of my master's thesis. I did this at University of St. Andrews under the supervision of Dr. Luke Randall, who is an absolute genius. He pioneered this whole research of whale cultures. But there is even more. So each of these populations, so all males that live in this population sing this same song. We're talking thousands of males, they all sing the same song. But a song doesn't stay the same all the time. So through years, the song evolves, so it changes. Each year, they would maybe rearrange some parts of the song. Maybe they will lose one theme and then add another theme. But you can really track this evolution. So it's a slow, progressive evolution. And each year, if you keep recording them, you can really see how the song evolved. So this was fascinating enough. But then some of my colleagues discovered something completely crazy, which is called a song revolution. So they found out this phenomena in the animal kingdom, first time in Australia. So they were recording whales that were migrating along the east coast of Australia. And they were all singing the same song. Here, this song is painted in yellow. But then, next year, all of a sudden, they recorded a different song, which was not just like an evolved version of this song. No, it was a fully new song. So here, it's painted in blue. And first, they were like, what is this song? Like, where did it come from? And then they compared this song with a song of humpback whales on the west coast of Australia, and they figured out they just took over their own song. So they ditched their song to take over a wholly different song. We have no idea why, just to tell you straight away. But scientists have been tracking this evolution, revolution, across the Pacific. So first, this song came from Western Australia. It was recorded in East Australia. Let's take, for example, the blue one. Next year, it was recorded in New Caledonia, Tonga, American Samoa, Cook Islands, French Polynesia. And just a few years ago, scientists have recorded the same song in Ecuador, so all the way in South America. So this song traveled across the entire Pacific Ocean. And such a huge cultural change, I mean, happening in such a vast geographic range, this is something that's unparalleled in the animal kingdom. The only other species that does this is us humans, and we use technology. So all of this was just so fascinating to me that I thought, right, I really want to share this with everyone, because there are only a few scientists in the entire world that study these things. And I was thinking, okay, how can I do this? How can I present this to people outside of academia? There is no point of writing just another research paper, because only scientists that are studying these things will read it, right? And also, people that are not scientists, they often get bored by this scientific language. So I thought, what if I make a music album about my research? And this is actually the reason why I started this whole inner child project. So I had this idea to make a music album using these recordings I analyzed from my research, and then write like a story next to this album. So when people first get to hear these sounds, and then they wonder, okay, who sings, who makes these incredible sounds, what is this? And then they actually want to learn more. So that was my approach. And first I thought, okay, I will produce the whole album. But then I thought again. And I thought, first of all, it would take me ages. And I thought whales really deserve the best. And I was still learning about this whole production. So over the years, I traveled a lot. And I met some incredible music producers. And they were always interested in my work, because we all worked with sound. So then I contacted some of these producers and told them about my idea. And they were on board. They wanted to make music. So I sent them each this one whale recording, actually the first one I ever analyzed for my research. And then they each made a song with this recording. And then I compiled all these different songs in an album which I called Canticum Egaptere, which is Latin for Song of the Humpback Whale. So the concept of this album was that each artist's track represents one theme of the whale song. So through this album, I explained these things I told you, so about the structure of whale song and some of this research I've done. So each of these tunes is made in a different style, obviously, because it's different artists. And most of them used this whale recording. They just used some samples from it and made them into their music. But I also made one. Mine was theme number 7. And my approach was that I really wanted the whale to be in focus. So I didn't want to just chop the recording. I really wanted the whale recording to be intact. And then I built the music around it. So now I thought I can make you a little demonstration of this, if you want to hear how I made this song. Thank you. All right, so we'll start just with whale recording so you hear how it sounds, and then I'll add other parts. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. This was actually the first song I ever produced in my life. So... cool. Thank you, guys. Yeah, I was actually very shy to put it on this album because I don't know if you know, but these guys are superstars. I didn't even want to put my tune there, but they talked me into it. So, okay, I'm glad you liked it. And also, this was the first album I released. So I have no idea what I was doing, honestly. And I did it all myself. I didn't want to go to any record label because I really wanted the story, the science behind it to be represented. So I just went full in and did it all. And I have no idea what to expect, really. I just let it out in the world. But then it really got some amazing feedback from like all over the world. And because these artists also come from different countries, from Europe, America, New Zealand. So they also helped spread this album. But what I was then really pleasantly surprised was that lots of different fields really saw the value in it. So I won some awards both from academia as well as from the music world, which was pretty cool. And it also helped this album reach even more people. But what I'm really happy about this is that it really started the conversation, and not only about whales. People, once they learned that whales can make this, then they were interested to learn even more about not only whale, but like animal cultures in general, oceans, conservation. So it really went beyond this its original aim, just to educate people on whales. And it also inspired so many different wonderful projects. I don't have time to go into all of them, but one that I'm really happy about, and the reason I'm really happy I actually put my song on this album, is because after I released it, many producers approached me asking if they could remix my song from the first album. So that is why the whole second part came to be. So the second Cantico Megaptera was actually remixes of my original song from the first album, and I called it The Evolution, because through this album I was talking about all of this I explained to you, how songs evolve over time, and remixes are actually the perfect way to describe this, because, you know, musicians take an original song, they take some parts of it, and then add their own. So pretty much that's what whales do, right? Whales remix each other. And again, for the second album, I couldn't believe some of my favorite artists in the entire world remixed the first song I ever made. So I was happy as a little kid when they sent me their remixes. So this whole second album really went deep into all of these things we still don't know about whale song. How and why do they even evolve? So now I thought I'll give you a short a glimpse into this second album, so you can get a taste of the evolution. So I will play you just short parts of each of these songs, so you can, and I will start with a little bit of my own, which you already heard, but pay attention and then see if you can tell which song used which parts. Some artists use maybe some drum patterns, other one use some bass line, one use the melody. So yes, let's see if you like that. Thank you. Thank you very much. And thanks to all of these amazing artists for making such beautiful music. Yes. So I must tell you, I want, in all the levels of producing these albums, I wanted science to be really represented in everything. So even if, though if it's not so obvious, I know, so I wanted it to be right. For example, the first cover art, my friend Fabi made for me. So first she wanted to make a whale jumping out of the water, but I was like, no, no. When whales sing, they take this position, so it must be like that. And also with the second album, I worked with my other friend Gogi, and I explained to him this whole idea of the evolution of whale song and how the musicians are gonna take the original and then remix it. So then I asked him, can you also do something like that for the cover art? Can you remix the original cover art? So yes, this is what he made. But also, he made various different versions for me. And I don't know how well you see, but I thought each one of them was beautiful and had a story of its own. It was very hard to choose only one. In the end, I chose one that I thought represents music the best, but also kind of is a cool contrast with the first one. But because I liked all of them, I came with this idea, why don't we make a whole exhibition out of it? So this is what we did. we had a Canti Cum Egapter exhibition in my hometown at Art Science. And I also gave a little presentation there and played some music, and loads of people came, and it was really cool. So they can experience this both visually and through music and through the story. So the second album also was very well received, and the media went crazy with this one. All kinds of shows and podcasts and magazines interviewed me, but one that I wanted to share with you, which I really liked, was one quote, actually, which is from this article that came in The New Yorker. And they wrote, the music on her albums teaches us, among other things, just how much we have to learn. And this is exactly my point when I do all of this. So whereas the first album, here we have both covers facing each other. So whereas the first album explained all the research we did so far and things we know or think we know about whale song, but the second one really dived deep into the unknown. So all these questions we still don't have the answers for. And at this time when I was making the second album, I was also working on my PhD on the evolution of whale songs. And I must tell you that while I was working with these artists, I actually got some ideas from my research that I would probably not get if I was only doing research. Oh well, we have a party train going on there. So now I can tell you, this is actually, in the ocean, if this happened, would be a big problem for the whales. It's called noise pollution. And it really affects them because they're trying to talk to each other and then there is all this noise and they can't hear each other. But anyways, hope you can hear me. So the thing I really liked about this project was that I started as a scientist doing research and that inspired all the music and the art. But then also, all this creative work went and inspired research. So I came up with some questions for my research from this. And I was working with music, I started seeing parallels between whale culture and our human culture. As you can see, so this is another painting my sister made for me. It was actually a present for my graduation. She painted the whole whale band. But really, there are many similarities between whale and human culture. When we think about the evolution of music, when we look back in history, we didn't always have all this music we have today, right? First, it was probably just some singing, maybe some drumming, Then we invented all these instruments. We had classical music, punk rock, electronic music with all these genres. But at some point in human history, there was some person that actually came up with this new idea, right? So there are pioneers of new musical genres, and then there are other artists that just follow in their footsteps. So they make variations for known styles. So then I started thinking, why wouldn't the same be true with the whales? Maybe there are some individuals who are more creative or innovative than others. So they make these changes in songs, and then the other whales just copy them and follow. Or maybe in whale cultures, it is a collective input. Maybe each whale has its own say, so they all contribute to the evolution of the song. We still don't know these things. Hopefully one day, maybe if I give another lecture in 10 years, I will have some more answers. But also I started thinking of some even bigger questions, such as, what are the origins of music? Whales were here long before us humans, millions of years ago, before we even evolved. And they were singing long before we invented language or music. So then I started thinking also, how will the whale songs evolve in the future? And is there even a future for them? Today, whales are facing many threats from... Even though commercial whaling was banned, few countries still continue, but in smaller numbers. But also, there is a big problem of bycatch or entanglement when whales are not a target, but they just get entangled in the fishing gear. Also, ship strikes, plastic pollution, noise pollution, which we just had a demonstration of. Also, climate change, habitat destruction. And lots of people kind of don't even think about these things. You know, whales are so distant from us. What do they have to do with us? But in fact, whales are actually very important to us. Ocean gives us more than half of the oxygen we breathe. And it also regulates our climate. So actually, it makes life on land possible. And whales keep the ocean in balance. They circulate nutrients in the food webs. They also store carbon in their huge bodies. So all other marine creatures depend on them, as well as all of us on land. So this is another thing I'm trying to raise awareness of through my work. So my latest album was called Dream Memories, and this is the message from this album, that my dream is for all of us to live in harmony with nature and each other. So yes, it's a dream, but hopefully we can all do the best we can for that to be a reality. So now I thought I'll play you one final song from this album. I made this one from a recording of seals and whales from Antarctica. And it's called Frozen Memories. So even before I went to these places, I always imagined these polar regions to be like these ancient places where everything is frozen, even time is frozen, and ice holds memories of the past. And with climate change and melting ice, these memories are fading away. So this is something I try to reflect on with this composition. So I will play you this one now. And, oh yes, I have a very cute animation to go along, which this incredible artist that made this cover art, his name is Abhishek Singh, he made for me. So let's see if we can make this work. Yes. Thank you. And now, just before I end, I would like to share with you my next project, which I'm really excited about. But also, I would like to invite you all if you want to be part of it. So, I want to create the third and final Canticum Megaptera album. And the theme is Whale Song Revolution. So all these things I told you about. But in order to create this album, I need to go get new whale recordings, right? Because I can't make a revolutionary album with old songs. I need to go record new ones. And for this, I actually need to go to Tonga, which is in the middle of Pacific. It takes days to even get there. And even once I'm there, I need to hire a boat every day to take me to whales and get all this equipment. So all of this requires significant funding, which I don't have. And as I'm not working for any institution, I'm doing all of this myself. That's why I started this crowdfunding campaign. So you can help in different ways, whether by donating, but also sharing the campaign with your families, friends, any organizations you might know that you think might want to support it. Or if you have any other ideas, I would be happy to hear from you. So feel free to get in touch, or even just now, I'll hang here for a bit if you want to have a chat. So that is all from me. And for the end, I would just like to say a big thank you to all the incredible artists and scientists I was lucky to work with. Big thanks to Fusion for inviting me. This is my first Fusion ever, so I'm really excited. And thank you all for being here with me. And the biggest thanks goes to Wales.
So, thank you very much. We have time if you have a question, perhaps about whales. Somebody's up for a question? Yeah, back in the back.
Hi, thank you for the great talk. I have a question. You mentioned animal culture a couple of times. Hmm. How would you say, what is animal culture and what is just a behavior? Where can we see the difference?
So, depends how you define culture. If you define culture as something that is socially learned and transmitted, then that would be like a criteria. You know, behavior can just be any random behavior, like responding to some input from the environment. But culture would be something that is learned and shared, same as our culture. So for example, yeah, songs that are learned, certain behaviors. For example, I mentioned I studied tulus in bottlenose dolphins. So this is something they didn't always do. So researchers found, originally it was maybe just a few dolphins, one dolphin that figured out how to use this tool, but then he taught others. So then they tracked how this behavior spread through the population. So that definitely falls under the category of culture. Yeah.
And we have time for one more question.
The picture that you showed with the different sound, or like the different songs, which were then like which showed up in Ecuador and like all of the other parts, is it possible that it was like the same whales which sang like the same song because of like the migrating routes, or was it like really adapted by different animals which heard the song and then like passed it along to like different generations as well?
That's a very good question. So whales. So they migrate between their breeding grounds, which are in tropical waters. Hemisphere up to Arctic. But whales are very true, is that the word? Like they show fidelity to their own migration routes, which they will learn from their mother. So whales would usually go to same places. So they would migrate, for example, from Pacific, all these small islands, along the coast of Australia, down to Antarctica, and back up. They would usually not change the places. I mean, it has been documented, but usually they are the go to theirs. So we still don't know how does this happen. Maybe some individual would move and teach them, the others, but maybe it's also, for example, when they're on the feeding grounds, even though they're separate, have separate locations, because sound travels very far in the ocean, it spreads like 4.5 times faster than through air, so they can potentially hear each other from like thousands and thousands of kilometers, so they could potentially hear the other population singing and then take it over. But yes, these are some things we are still not sure about. But good question.
Okay, time's up. Thank you very much. Another big round of applause for Sarah.